Well, that was quick. Good morning. How's everybody doing this morning? It's such a blessing to be in God's house, isn't it? It's good to have Dana and Lindy and Luke with us this morning. It's just good for them to come and back and be visit with us. And for all of you that may be visiting, we want to say welcome, and we want to welcome you to God's house and to His love. As I was preparing for this message, the Lord was really whooping on me real hard. He was spanking me for something that I thought I was doing it right. But He was letting me know. So I finally had to get on my knees and pray. And I said, God, what is it that you're trying to tell me that I'm doing wrong? This question just blared out at me. And at first I thought, well, what does that mean? The question was, who do you spend your time with, Lynn? Who do you spend your time with? I heard a statement made from a brother Christian, and it got to me thinking, you know, what is my purpose? Who should I be spending my time with? The conversation kind of went like, well, you know, that guy, you really shouldn't have nothing to do with that guy because he's a little bit shady. You know, he's not really cleaned up real good, and he just doesn't really smell good. Those are the kind of guys you kind of watch for. And it got me to thinking. I thought, my Lord, is that right? Something about that does not ring true in my heart. Who should I be spending time with? This message is what cowboy shirts should really be about. It's what we say we're about anyway, what we should be doing. You know, why is he hanging out with the likes of that man? He's no good. He can't be trusted. He probably uses drugs, or he's a drunkard. Or he doesn't treat his family right. He doesn't work all the time. I got to thinking, Jesus, what would you do? Who would you be hanging out with? Who would you be spending time with? He gave me the answer in Luke 15, starting with verse 1. It's pretty plain. Tax collectors and other notorious sinners often came to listen to Jesus teach. This made the Pharisees and the teachers of religious law complain that he was associating with such sinful people, even eating with them. Whew, man. So Jesus told them this story. If a man has 100 sheep and one of them gets lost, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others in the wilderness and go search for the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he's found it, he will joyfully carry it home on his shoulders. When he arrives, he'll call together his friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me because I have found my lost sheep." In the same way, there is more joy in heaven over one lost sinner who repents and returns to God than over 99 others who are righteous and haven't strayed away. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, because we really need the power of the Holy Spirit in this message. Father, I just pray that you would open up our hearts, that we hear what we need to hear this morning. May the Holy Spirit have its workings in our heart this morning, have his way. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus is in the lost stray business. If Jesus was here today, where would Jesus be spending his time, and who would he be hanging out with? If he was in this area that we're living in right now, who would he be hanging out with? Where would he be hanging out at? Would he be down at the First Baptist Church all the time? Would he be at the Catholic Church all the time? Would he be at the Methodist Church? Would he be at the Cowboy Church? Where would Jesus be? Where do you think you'd be? Anywhere there's a lost person. Someone who needs him and needs his love. That's where Jesus would be. If that's out in a pasture somewhere gathering cows with a bunch of rowdy cowboys that never go to church, that still smell from the night before all the drinking they did, that's where Jesus would be. He'd be friending those guys. He'd be shaking their hands, talking to them, telling them how much he cares about them and that he loves them and he only wants the best for them. If you had all you can relate to something that's lost, if you had a calf that just come up missing, maybe more than one, what would you do? Well, you know, I've got a couple of hundred. I've got 50. What if I lose just one? What difference does that make? To the rancher, that's money. That's lost. That's lost profit. It's something that he can't get back unless he finds that calf. Let's relate that to Christianity. Here are all these folks out there that might be like that calf, pinned down somewhere, in trouble, not going its way. It can't get up. Something is obstructing him. Something is weighing him down. It can't get back. Maybe it's in the creek, and the only thing that's sticking out of the water is his nose. And he's getting tired, and he's fixing to go under. If it weren't for the hand, the one that cared to go look for that calf and say, I can't rest, I don't care what time it is, I don't care if it's night, I don't care if it's raining, I don't care what's going on, until I find that calf, I'm not going to rest. You search, and all you see is a little bitty nose sticking out of the water. And it's struggling, it's bobbing up and down. You reach down, you jump down, you throw a loop around him, and you drag him out. You save the calf. How excited would you be? You just saved a life that God created. Man, you'd be happy. You'd be saying, man, you'd be telling all your buds. You'd call your wife. You'd tell her, you say, when you got there, look what happened. I found that calf. There'd be a lot of happiness and joy and rejoicing over that. But yet, we have people out there in this world, in our community, that are pinned down with troubles, pinned down with this world. They live by the world's standards, not God's. They're hurting. They're taking their last breath, some of them, wishing that they could just go ahead and let it end. I can't take any more. What would Jesus do? He would be there. He'd throw that spiritual loop out there. It would go around them, and he'd pull them up to himself. He'd dust them off and clean them and dry them off. Give them something to eat. Give them water to drink. Spiritual water. To fill their soul. To save them. He would save them. You might say, you know, but it don't belong. They don't belong to me. All those people out there, I'm not responsible for them. Well, I hate to tell you something. When you become a believer, when you become a Christian, when you accept that free gift of eternal life, you are the one that goes out. That's part of your job. That's part of your job description. Who else is going to go? Another lost person doesn't care what happens to them. The world does not care if they drown, if they die of an overdose. No matter, it doesn't matter what's wrong. The world says, oh, it's one less mouth we've got to feed. One less person that we got to worry about. One less person that sucks the life out of this world. But you see, Jesus cares about that person. He said, I love everybody. I love all of you. Not just the righteous that think they're good. That's what the scripture's talking about. Not just the ones that think they're doing everything right. That's what he was slapping me with this week. Not when you think you're doing everything you're supposed to be doing. Jesus says, I didn't come for that. I come for the lost. I laid my life down so that all could be saved, that all could receive salvation. Not just the ones that smell good, look good, dress pretty, got a job. That's not what the scripture says. They're all my children. And if they're lost, I'm going to find them. But I need your help. I need all my ranch hands that are out there that call themselves to be mine. I need you to go for me. I need you to be the one to say, you know what? I know that I need to take a meal to that person. They've been sick. I know I need to go visit them in the hospital. I know I need to go over there and their lawnmower broke. I need to mow their grass for them. And all the time you do these things, you invite them to church and tell them that you care about them. How can I help? What can I do to help you and make life better for you? The number one thing I can do is invite you to a church that will love you, put their arms around you, tell you about the Lord. You can experience God's love in that house because we're all brothers and sisters and we're all in the same boat. By the grace of God, I could be the one that's sitting there alone, hating the world, hating everybody because of the situation that I'm in, that I've gotten myself in. I could blame everybody else but myself. I would pray that somebody would come and talk to me. I would pray that God would send someone who cared about Lynn to come and to offer me a hand up, to offer me something to pull me up from where I'm at. Because I'm lost. We have a commission from Jesus to go out into the world and to witness and tell others about Christ. Those that are lost, how that we have a loving Savior. If Jesus was here today, what do you think where would we find him? What do you think he would be doing? Back then, tax collectors were the scum of the earth because they worked for the Roman government. And the only thing, the way they got their money was from you, the people. And they'd suck you dry as much as they could get. It didn't matter as much as they could get out of you. Because they had to pay a certain percentage to the Roman government. And then the rest was for them. These are the guys that Jesus sought out. The people that were scum. The ones that you don't want to be seen with. I don't want to be seen with that guy. That guy's a crook, we would say today. Jesus has said, that's exactly where I need to be. And these Pharisees, these righteous men were saying, man, what is he doing? Do you realize he's hurting his witness by hanging out with these characters? Woo! Man, don't he realize that we're watching him every minute to see what he's doing? Jesus took his running orders from someone a whole lot higher than those righteous dudes, I'm telling you. Jesus didn't say that I'm only coming to this world for the people who think they're right with God. I'm coming to the ones that don't know God, that need God, that need me, that need salvation. Jesus would be in somebody's backyard telling them about the Lord. He'd be in the roping pen telling all the ropers about Jesus and his love. He'd be out there in the pastures with the guys, loading all the cows up, pinning them, putting them in, loading them, getting them gone and still talking to them and befriending them and just introducing themselves, say, hey, come to church, man. You ever been to Common Ground Cowboy Church? Have you ever been to this cowboy church? Have you ever been to this church? I have a church over here. It's not a cowboy church. That the people over there love the Lord. Have you ever been over there? It doesn't have to be this church. He'd be at a ranch rodeo. He'd be telling them about it. He'd be at the hospitals, visiting the sick, helping them, healing them, praying for them, loving on them. Everywhere Jesus went, he would go and befriend and love everybody he'd come in contact with. Where do you go in a week's time? Where do you spend your days? Have you got time to walk, get out of your desk and walk across the hallway to someone who needs to hear about Jesus or needs to get an invite to a social or to a party or just to come to church? Just to sit down and listen to their troubles without judging them. He would befriend them no matter who their daddy was, no matter who their mama was, who their kinfolks were, whether they were trashy people known to be in the community or not. That's where Jesus would be. If they needed him, that's where Jesus could be found. You know, he told me, it's about time, Lynn, that you start spending time with some lost folks. Not just with the ones that are righteous in your eyes, but those that are in need. That's the ones I want you to start spending time with. Those characters that everybody talks about. Oh, watch out for that lady. Woo, she's no good. Watch out for that guy. He's got a filthy mouth. Anybody, anywhere, no matter how far they seem away from Christianity, what we think is right, that's the ones that we should be talking to. That's the ones that we should be loving on, because nobody else cares. Man, y'all, if we don't care, who's going to do it? Who is going to care if it's not us? Why do you think that the cowboy church has events at the church? We bring them in. Why do we bring them in? Just so they'll have a good time at the ranch rodeo. Sneak out to the truck maybe and get a beer. No, it's because we want that little time that we have to share the gospel with them, to be friendly with them, to introduce ourselves and encourage them to come to church. That's what it's about. It's get them here so that they hear the message of love, Christ's love. It's not so that they can take money home if they win. The winning is if they take something home that they didn't bring with them. Because they brought a little money with them. They had a little money or they didn't enter. But what they should go away with is be completely saturated with God's love. To know that, holy cow, you know, this was a different ranch rodeo that I went to today. You know, I tried to hang out by myself, but dang it, they wouldn't let me. Everybody kept coming up and introducing themselves and shaking my hand. Hey, you want a Coke? You want a water? Are you hot? Let me get you a water. It's time for us as God's ranch hands, because to do what we're supposed to do. We're not day workers, y'all. We don't get paid by the day. We're on salary. 24/7. We're full-time spiritual ranch hands for God. We're His shepherds in the field. We're the ones that go do the looking. It's time for us to put our coats on, to get our warmest hat, our best chaps, our boots on, our spurs. Everything that we need, our rope, our horse, everything tacked up, ready to go, ready to ride, and saddle up and start doing God's work. It's no good if you do all those things and you back in the box and you just sit there. That's what God was telling me. It's no good if you never get out of the box. It's uncomfortable sometimes when you nod and say, "Yeah, I'll do it," and you let that horse go. Sometimes it's a little scary. It might stumble, and you think, "Oh, this is it. This is where I'm going to get hurt." But you do it. It's time for us to get our spiritual ropes out, our spiritual horses, whatever we need, and start doing what God has asked us to do, commanded us to do. Take that Bible that you had sitting in the drawer that nobody knows about probably, or it's been sitting out on the shelf and it's got dirt out and dust all over it. Dust that sucker off and take it with you. If it's a pocket one, put it in your pocket. It's time we start looking for the lost, the ones that need Jesus. It's said that a Christian can go anywhere in the world, and if there's 10 people standing there, 9 of them are lost. That's the percentage. All of them. You may be the only one there. The only representative of God. You may be the only one there. And all those folks are needing to hear about Jesus. And they're sitting there hanging their head and just hoping nobody talks to them. They just want to get out and do their own thing. It's time that we start looking. I'd like to issue a challenge to everybody because the Lord challenged me. If you know somebody that's down and out, somebody that they don't necessarily have to be in the pits of despair, but somebody that you know that doesn't know Christ, someone that doesn't go to church, someone that doesn't know the Lord, you may not really know their heart. You may think that that person is lost, but maybe they just gotten so far away from Jesus that they can't find Him. The sin has put a division between them and God, and they just need a brother to reach down in love and say, "Man, won't you come go to church with me? You can sit by me. I'll come pick you up." I challenge you to do one thing. That's to invite somebody to come to church. Look around you. Look at the chairs that we got empty. I'm not looking at the empty chairs. I'm looking at the ones that are filling the chairs. This is the one that the challenge is going to. We got plenty of room, and we got plenty of more chairs. It's not I'm trying to grow a mega church, a giant church where there's people standing up to come in. But, y'all, we need to be doing what we're supposed to be doing, and that is bringing the lost so that they can hear God's word. But not everybody's going to come. But if you befriend them out there and love them out there, the chances of them coming in here are a lot better if you don't ignore them. If you just said, "Oh, I'll let somebody else do it." That's what we're supposed to be doing. We're that other person. Let somebody else do it. We're somebody else. Do you get it? I challenge you this week, just one time. You've said, "Well, I've never done that. I don't speak real well. As a matter of fact, I'm really an introvert and I'm shy, and I just can't seem to hardly bring myself to hardly talk to anybody except to somebody I know." try one time. I'm asking you to do is just once. This is the Lord, just one time for him who died for you so that you could have salvation. One person. See what happens. They may look at you and they may call you every name that there is in the book, in the world's book. But I promise you, because you were faithful, God will bless you. Now, you may not be successful with getting that person to hear God's word. But if you love them there, you will receive a blessing that you've never, ever experienced before. I promise you, it's a promise. Who do you spend your time with? That's the question. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Woo! Man, Lord, my feet are hurting. My backside's hurting where you've been kicking me to get off my duff and do something. I pray, Lord, I just thank you for opening my eyes to what I should be doing more of, what I should be spending my time doing. I just pray, Father, I just lift every person that's heard this message today, Lord, that this week, through the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, they'd have the courage to do what you ask us to do. I pray that whatever the slightest effort, Lord, I ask you to bless them in a mighty way, just to give them a taste of your glory and your blessings that you have for those who are faithful to you. If there's someone here, Lord, that doesn't know you today as their Lord and Savior, I pray before they leave, they get it right today, Lord, that they come see me, come see one of the elders, and find out what it takes to become a true follower of Jesus Christ, to receive that love, to receive that salvation, that free gift that only you give. We love you, Lord, and we thank you. And I ask you to bless everyone that's here today. In Jesus' name we pray, Father. Amen. Woo-wee! Boy, I tell you what, I am so thankful that y'all were here today. And I thank you for listening to God's word. I pray that God will bless you as you go out. And if you just do that one thing, I pray that God will bless you. And I'll be praying for you. Y'all have a great week.